secret world. I can't remember, but I do recognize the face in this lover's everybody, this is Osho Radio. Today's program is about the rhythm of life. In many ways we are trying to tune into this rhythm, and today's music is all about this and also Osho's discourse. Enjoy the program. Thank you. The discourse by Osho today is from Tao the Three Treasures, Volume 1, Number 5. Osho is talking about balance and rhythm. Our tendency is to move towards the extremes, from one side to the other, from happiness to sadness, from doing nothing and not knowing where to go, to being overactive and not being able to stop anymore. The secret, Osho says, is not to stay in a stagnant pool in the middle, but let your energy move, not to the extremes, but yes, from left to right, from right to left, always trying to find the middle, always looking for the balance. And in this way, you'll be in the stream of life itself.
Logic moves to the very extreme. Life never. That's how logic misses life. Logic has a tendency to reach to the conclusion. Life is never concluding. Life has no conclusion. It goes on and on and on without any conclusion. It is without any beginning and without any end. It is always in the middle. It is always in the present. It is an ongoing process. That's how a logical mind becomes by and by dead. That's how logic becomes its own downfall. Don't conclude. Live without conclusion. That is the only way to live. Because then only you live in the middle. and the middle is the balance. A life is a balance between opposites. It never comes to an end. The balance goes on and on. It is eternal. A man of understanding never comes to any conclusions. Cannot come. When life itself is non-conclusive, how can a wise man be conclusive? If you ask Lao Tse any conclusive answer, he will laugh. He will say, "You are foolish." He lives according to life. And the most basic note, if you live according to life, is balance. Never move to one opposite. Don't cling to one polarity. Then you will lose balance. I have heard, once it happened, a great king had to decide something against his heart. Two of his ministers had committed some crime, and he loved the ministers very much. Even if they have committed the crime, he wanted to forgive them. His love was such for them. But that was against the law of the country, and that won't be a good precedent. So they had to be punished. And the law of the country said that for such a crime, only death is the punishment. So what to do? It was too difficult. So he found out a way. He said they have to be sentenced to death, but I will give them one chance more to live. On two hills, a tightrope will be stretched. If they can walk over it and survive, then I will forgive them. It was almost impossible. It was impossible because they have never walked on any tightrope. And on two hills, above a big valley, death everywhere, and to walk on a tightrope is a great art. One has to learn it. It is a great discipline. They have not even dreamed in their life that they will become tightrope walkers. One of the two couldn't sleep the whole night. He was praying to God that help me. He couldn't take his tea in the morning. He came to the place where this phenomena was to happen. The whole capital has gathered. The others, knowing well that I don't know anything about tightrope walking, nothing can be done. And it is almost certain that I am going to die. So why not sleep well? He slept. In the morning he took his usual tea. He walked leisurely, came to the place. The other was trembling, feverish. But he was quiet and calm, knowing well that death is to happen. And when it is certain, why bother? Die silently. He started walking on the rope, and wonder of wonders, he walked. Nobody could believe. Even the tightrope walkers had come to watch. Even they could not believe. It was difficult even for them. The distance was too much, and the danger was too much. One step wrong, a little leaning towards the left, a little more, or towards the right, and you are gone. A little unbalance and death is waiting on every step. But the man walked, and he walked so leisurely, completely as leisurely as he has gone for a morning walk. He reached to the other hill, but the first was trembling, perspiring. He shouted from his place to the other man, "Please tell me how you walked, so I can also walk." And the other man shouted back, "Difficult, because I don't know the how. I know only one thing. This is the way I have been walking in my whole life. I am not a tightrope walker, but now I know I am. Because this is the way I have been living my whole life, balanced. Never going to the extreme. Or if I lean towards the left, immediately I balance it by leaning towards the right. I have not done anything else, but this won't help you, because this is not something you can learn suddenly. If you live in this way, the knack of it comes to you." Remember the word knack, I emphasize it. Religion is a knack. It is not a science, otherwise it can be taught very easily. It can be explained very easily, theorized. There is no trouble about it. Even the greatest problem in science can be solved. If not today, then tomorrow. But it will be solved through intellect, through intellectual effort. And someday when it is solved, it is not solved for one who has solved it, it is solved for all. Einstein solves the mystery of relativity. Now there is no need for anybody else to solve it, it is solved for all. You have just to understand it, that's all. You need not go into the vast effort of solving it. It is solved. Science is a public phenomena. One man solves it, then it is solved for everybody. One man invents, it is invented for all. It is a mass phenomena. Religion, thousands of losses may have happened. Nothing is solved. You have to know it again and again on your own. It is not science. Science can create scriptures, theories, but religion cannot create scriptures and theories. It is a lived experience. You cannot reduce it to a theory. It is very subtle for that, very delicate for that. Theory is very rough grass. Experience is very subtle. Can any tightrope walker make a theory out of it? And just by understanding the theory, you can understand the theory perfectly. You can be examined. And you can get 100% marks. But do you think that you will be able to walk on that tightrope because you have understood the theoretical background of it? No, it won't help. It is not a science. And I say to you, it is not even art. Because art can be imitated. Knack can never be imitated. Art is something you do outside of you. You paint a picture. You make a poem. you dance, you do something which is visible, can be imitated. Even Picasso can be imitated. But religion can never be imitated. It is nothing outside, it is something within. You can imitate a Picasso, a Michelangelo, but how can you imitate a Lao Tse? You feel something is there, but it is elusive. You know that he knows something, but you cannot pinpoint it, you cannot figure it out. It is in neck. Then what is a neck? A neck comes when you do many, many things on the path, trial and error, falling and rising, going astray and coming back, thousands of experiments in living, and suddenly one day you have the knack of it. A knack is the essence of many errors, mistakes, of trial and error. Something grows in you. And once you know it, you can forget about it. You have it always. You need not remember it. If you need to remember it, it is still not a knack. It is something in the mind. If it is a knack, it goes into the blood, into the bones, into the very marrow, into the very being. Then you can forget about it. A Lao Tse is not to remember how he has to walk, how he has to be. It is not a discipline. Once you know, you know. You can forget, you can simply drop it out of the mind. You will follow it. You will follow it without knowing it. Neck is neither science nor art. It is a lived experience. And this is the greatest art or the greatest science. Science of life or art of life. You have to walk in life and see how you fall. You have to watch yourself and observe how you go astray. And the mind will insist to go to the very extreme. Whenever you feel an unbalance, immediately balance it by moving to the opposite. Mind is either a rightist, it moves towards the right. Then it never moves to the left. Or mind is a leftist, then it moves to the left and never moves to the right. And I have come across a very strange phenomena. Sometimes mind becomes a middleist, remains in the middle, but as fanatic about the middle as others are about right and left, he is also not in the middle. Because a man who is in the middle is never fanatic. Only extremists are fanatics. They cling to a certain position. And middle is not a position, it is a constant gaining of balance. Try to understand. This is the most meaningful feeling that Tao can give it to you. Middle is not a fixed state, it is a constantly changing movement. So you cannot be in the middle like a man who can be in the left or in the right. You cannot cling to the middle. One who wants to be in the middle will have constantly to lean towards right and left. Sometimes you will see he is a leftist, and sometimes you will see, no, look, he has become a rightist. He has to walk like a tightrope walker. And only between these two extremes, balancing constantly, continuously, is the middle. Middle is an alive situation. It is not a fixed and dead point that you achieve forever. No. Moment to moment you have to achieve it again and again and again. Watch a tightrope walker. It is an experience. In my childhood, whenever I heard about a tightrope walker anywhere, in my village or in the neighboring villages, I will run and watch, because from the very beginning I have been feeling that he knows something which is very, very significant for life. What he is doing, he is not statically in the middle, otherwise he will fall. He is never for a single moment static. He is dynamic, constantly changing, a flux. But the flux has a balancing center. Sometimes to the left, sometimes to the right. He is very contradictory. He is not consistent. If you ask consistency, he will fall and die. If you say stick to one situation, to one position, if you are a rightist, be a rightist. If you are a leftist, be a leftist. Or if you have chosen middle as your position, then be in the middle. But what are you doing? You are constantly moving. You will kill him. Any static position kills. To be static is to die, and die uselessly. To be static is to miss life. No, he cannot remain in the middle. To remain in the middle, he cannot remain in the middle. To remain in the middle, he has to constantly move and balance. Every moment life is changing. How can you remain fixed? Every moment everything is changing. Nothing is static. Says Heraclitus, you cannot step in the same river twice. By the time you come to step in the river twice, the river has changed. And not only the river has changed, you have changed. How can you step twice in the river? Neither the river remains the same, nor you. Nothing remains the same. Sameness is illusion. Flux is reality. In such a changing world, in such an alive world, vibrating with life, if you cling to a position, you are dead. You are seeking suicide. That's why all those who have reached and concluded are dead. If you have concluded that you are a Hindu, you are dead. If you have concluded that you are a Mohammedan, you are dead. Because sometimes a Hindu needs to lean towards the Mohammedan to gain balance. And sometimes a Mohammedan needs to be a Hindu to gain balance. Balance is life. If you have decided that you are a communist, you are dead. To remain alive, even the communist needs to lean towards the capitalist. And the capitalist, to lean towards the communist. Life is not as clear-cut as thinking. Thinking is very linear. Life is maddening. Life remains mysterious. To remain in the middle, if you stick to the middle, you will miss. This is the mystery of life. To remain in the middle, you have to be constantly moving towards left and right. Only then you can remain. Because middle is not a fixed point. Middle in fact, is nothing outside you. Middle is something inside you, a balance, a music, a harmony. Lao Tzu says, beware of the extreme. Don't go to the extreme, otherwise you will fall. Everything on the extreme changes to its opposite. If you are in love, and 24 hours you are after your lover, and you move to the extreme as lovers move, everything will be destroyed. You will destroy love yourself, because it is too much. Unbearable it becomes. 24 hours you cannot love. 24 hours love means like a man eating 24 hours. Love is food. You should not move to the extreme. Otherwise, food can become poison. That is how things turn to their opposite. Food nourishes, but eat too much and food becomes poison. It kills. That which was a nourishment becomes a poison and a killer. Love is a nourishment. Do it too much, overdo it, and it kills. And only hatred is left. Do anything too much and you will find the opposite of it has happened. Be after money too much and in the end you will find you are a beggar. Empty. Miss the whole life and the very point of it. You missed all enrichments that life could have given to you because you were too much after riches. Be after happiness and move to the extreme and you will be the most unhappy man in the world. To be happy, one need not go after happiness too much. Sometimes one has to forget about it. Sometimes one has even to enjoy unhappiness. To be happy, I am saying, sometimes one has to enjoy unhappiness also. That too is part of life and beautiful. This is how the balance is maintained. If you are laughing 24 hours, your laughter will become neurotic. It will no more be a laughter. You will go mad. To keep laughter alive and sane, tears are also needed. You cannot laugh 24 hours. Watch children because they are pure beings and they reflect things absolutely clear. They are mirror-like. If a child laughs too much, in the villages mothers say, don't laugh too much otherwise you will weep. Some wisdom in it. If a child laughs too much, he is bound to weep. You can see, he is laughing, he is laughing, he is laughing, and suddenly he has started crying. The laughter came to the extreme, became crying. You cannot be happy 24 hours. Unhappiness is a relaxation. You cannot be unhappy for 24 hours. Happiness is a relaxation. It is a tightrope walking. And man is foolish because man is too logical. You live in the world as a grist, as a householder. Then you 24 hours live in the world. Not in 24 hours, even for 1 hour, you are out of it in meditation, in prayer, in isolation, alone. Enjoying just yourself, not bothering about the world and worldly things. No. Then one day you get fed up with it. Bound to be. It is going to happen. If you remain a householder 24 hours, one day you will get fed up to the extreme you have come. Then you renounce and run away to the Himalayas. I have watched people who run away to the Himalayas are perfect householders. Perfect, I say. They did too much. They overdid it. When you overdo, the other extreme is bound to be born. It takes revenge. A man who was too much in the world, just accumulating riches, money, bank balance, suddenly feels frustrated. He laughed too much, now tears are flowing. He escapes. He renounces, he becomes a sannyasi, goes to the Himalayas, moves to the caves. What has happened to this man? You think a revolution? Nothing like that. Just a natural phenomenon. Just a natural phenomenon. He was too much in the world, now he has to become just the opposite. And now 24 hours he will try to be a sannyasi, and now again the same foolishness. One day, he is bound to come to the marketplace again. 24 hours he tried to be a householder, he could not be. Now he is doing the same stupidity again. 24 hours a sannyasi. Life is a rhythm. You breathe in, you breathe out. You cannot only go on breathing in, breathing in, breathing in, you will die. You cannot go on breathing out, breathing out, breathing out, you will die. You have to breathe in and breathe out, and you have to keep a balance. The same amount of breath going in has to come out. Then you are healthy. The life of the world is in breathing, and the life of a sannyasin is out breathing. They both have to be together. People come to me and they ask, what type of sannyasins you are creating? We have never heard. What type of sannyas is this? People are living in their houses, they are doing their business, they go to the office, work in the factory, they have wives and children. What type of sannyas is this? We have never heard about it. Yes, you have never heard about it. But this is the only sannyas that is right. This is the only sannyas that is balanced. This is the only sannyas which has a harmony of in-breathing and out-breathing. And the greatest possibility of attaining peaks of bliss are possible only when in-breathing and out-breathing are completely balanced. You are not leaning to any side too much. Suddenly, you are beyond both. Thank you.
Today we will finish with the meditation, and for now I would like to mention the music that we were playing in this program. We started with music by singer-songwriter Maniko, and then you listened to music by Miten, a song called The Rhythm of Life. Before the discourse, Devakant was playing flute music, and just now you listened to a song by Chinmaya Dunster from his CD called Gaia. Another CD is a CD by Milarepa. It's called Daydreams. You can find it on oneskymusic.com. Thank you. Today's meditation is called Go to Sleep as the Universe. Just sitting silently, meditate on the fact that you are boundless, that the boundaries of the universe are your boundaries. Feel expanded, become all inclusive in that feeling. The sun rises in you, the stars move within you, trees grow and worlds come and disappear. And feel immensely blissful in that expanded state of consciousness. And that will become your meditation. So, whenever you have time and are doing nothing, just sit silently and feel expanded. Drop boundaries, jump out of the boundaries. In the beginning, for a few days, it will look crazy, because we have become too much accustomed to the boundaries. In fact, there are no boundaries. The limitation is a mind limitation. Because we believe it to be so, it is. Feel this oceanic expansion as many times as possible, and soon you will start getting in tune with it. Then, just a little shift, and it is there. Every night when you go to sleep, go with this expanded consciousness. Fall into sleep as if stars are moving within you. The world is coming and disappearing within you. Go to sleep as the universe. In the morning, in the first moment you become aware that sleep is gone, again remember that expansion and get up out of the bed as the universe, and in the day also, as many times as you can remember it.